Beyond the headlines. This is World Insight.
Hello and welcome to World Insight with me, Tian Wei. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen wrapped up her visit to China on Monday. Chinese Premier Li Qiang held discussions with her on Sunday, noting that China-U.S. relationship is beginning to stabilize under the strategic guidance of the two heads of state. Yellen acknowledged the progress made on bilateral economic and financial issues and reiterated that the U.S. does not seek to decouple from China. U.S. Treasury Secretary Yellen held a presser on Monday afternoon. Here is what she said.
This progress matters. Given the size of our economies, the U.S.-China economic relationship is among the most important bilateral economic relationships in the world. And it matters deeply for American workers and firms. In turn, the American people expect their leaders to do the hard work of economic diplomacy. That's not the type that always generates headlines. It's one that keeps at it despite the noise in order to advance a responsible approach to the complex challenges that we face.
She has been briefing the press on several important issues that she suggested were discussed during her trip to China, such as what she calls the balanced growth, as well as the issues related to illicit financing. Meanwhile, she said that China and the U.S. have been discussing about how to deal with debt stress issues for some of the least developed economies and also cooperation on climate change. The U.S. Treasury Secretary also mentioned that the fourth meeting of the Economic and the Finance Working Group will convene the coming week, in which some of the topics earlier mentioned will be further discussed. Over the past few days, during U.S. Treasury Secretary Yellen's visit to China, you would notice stories in the Western press hyping about the so-called overcapacity issue of China regarding electronic vehicles and rechargeable batteries. But China is looking at this issue from a global perspective and also from innovations perspective, and looking at discussions with the U.S. officials, whether it was Secretary Yellen or future discussions with other officials, as conversations among policymakers. On the result of the U.S. Treasury Secretary Yellen's visit to China and the current state of U.S.-China relations, I had a conversation with panelists both from China and the U.S. I'm glad to be joined by Michael Powers, who is now in Philadelphia. He's a professor of economics and business from Strassman College in Tsinghua University. In Hong Kong, we have Mr. Hong Hao, Chief Economist of Grow Investment Group. Last but not least, in Beijing, Zhou Mi, Senior Research Fellow at the Chinese Academy of International Trade and Economic Cooperation. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. To you, Professor Powers, what do you see are the most important focus of the discussion so far?
I think that there are two things that people are watching. One is that this is a continuation of efforts to ease tensions between the United States and China. There was a series of meetings, and actually going back almost a year, Secretary Yellen came to China, and things were a bit more tense at that time. With regard to the substance, the topics that actually are receiving media attention, at least in the United States, are fairly limited, and there really is quite a bit of focus on the U.S. position that China is producing too many electrical vehicles, too much green technology, and this is damaging the ability of startup firms or established firms in the United States to operate in this area.
Mr. Hong, of course, industrial policies, we see a tendency coming from governments all over the world to strengthen that, including in the United States. So how do you see the perspectives about how the current Biden administration looking at EVs and solar energy from China?
Yeah, well, if you look at the domestic EV sales price and also the solar panel sales price, it's been coming down rather fast. I think, you know, for the number that we have, I think I'm seeing, you know, the largest and the fastest decline in EV sell price in the past 20 years. And also, I think solar panel price is down like 2/3 over the past 1.5 years. So those are, you know, telltale signs saying that, you know, this industry, China is enjoying substantial cost advantage in producing it. So, you know, not surprising to see now China is the largest EV exporter in the world. So obviously it's taking market share from foreign competitors, and that's why it's raising eyebrows from the foreign regulators. I think, you know, right now, you know, we're seeing Janet Yellen is having, you know, open communications with the Chinese officials. And I think, you know, the meetings, atmosphere, and also, you know, the way we're exchanging information are substantially more friendlier than probably a year ago when Yellen first visited China, right? So I think, you know, it's going in the right direction.
All right. So we see American EV producers such as Tesla in China, one of the largest factories in the world. We will also, of course, see mushrooming scenes of EVs all over China. This is being regarded, Mr. Zhou, as the one of the important growth engines of the Chinese economy, if you look at the innovation. So how do you see the overall picture of China-U.S. Trade relations regarding EVs and solar energy and etc.?
There are so many new brands of the EVs in China. They are after, you know, the competition when Tesla came to China. So I would say that it is a kind of a real good practice and innovation for China to develop the EVs and also the solar panels. So actually that we are able to produce the many of this innovation-based products about the EVs, so many of the consumers really enjoy the innovations. I think that it, just because of that, that China's exporters are able to export so many different kinds of choices of the EVs to other countries. Well, from the other side, we know that the United States really want to improve its abilities to fulfill its commitments in the climate change and also a lot of things. So they need the very good price and cost things to achieve these goals. It's a really kind of a good choice for both sides to cooperate in this export of China's EVs and solar panels to the United States.
Mr. Powers, how do you see the U.S. approach on solar and also electronic vehicles with China vis-a-vis the U.S. Overall picture of economic cooperation and competition worldwide?
I think that at this point in time, you know, some months before the national U.S. election, the emphasis from the Biden administration is to keep things steady, to maintain a good relationship with China. So I think that there is a discussion on both sides. I think that the United States would say, of course, green technology is good. Of course, we want more electric vehicles, but and actually it puts the United States in something of a difficult position to be saying, well, you're making too many of these, and it's going to lower the prices and damage our markets, our domestic markets. So there is a real tension here, but at the same time, I think that both sides are seeking good relations. With regard to Europe, I know that there is this this concern that perhaps it's a similar concern with that of the United States, that with the Chinese investment, heavy investment in green technology and EV in particular, that this will disadvantage European nations as well as the United States, and that perhaps tariffs or other actions will have to be taken to deflect this. But I think we have to keep in mind the difficulty there, which is that if you start taking protectionist measures in order to, you know, push away green technology and these positive investments that China's making, you're basically subsidizing companies or manufacturers that are not as advanced technologically in this area, and you're actually giving them a subsidy for being less green. So that is a very difficult position to be in. I think that the U.S. has to demonstrate, you know, with some evidence that there is a concerted effort by China to damage these markets. I think that's a very difficult thing to do, because the decision, it seems to me, is a decision of what China wants for its future, where, you know, how can it grow its economy, what direction should go, and it's decided to go heavily in this area.
Yeah. Mr. Hong?
Obviously, the two sides starting to talk, and you know, one has to see that in a light that is benefiting the U.S. consumer, right? So lower Chinese EV sell price exporting to the U.S. is actually giving consumer surplus to the U.S. consumer. And then at the same time, I think, you know, one has to recognize that, you know, China enjoy a substantial cost advantage. And this cost advantage is not purely from government subsidy, you know, more because, you know, the EV manufacturing process is not proprietary anymore, right? So the key technology component in an EV is actually the battery. And China has been the leader of the rechargeable battery in the world for a decade now. Right, so, you know, because of that, you know, a very advanced and also low cost base for manufacturing the battery, it makes manufacturing EVs very easy and low cost for Chinese manufacturers. And I think that is one of the reasons why you're seeing so many Chinese EVs manufacturers sprouting almost from nowhere and quickly become, you know, one of the dominant players in the world. So I think, you know, before this year, Tesla, the major US EV manufacturer, has been the leading exporter of Chinese EV, right? So from they're making cars in China and then exporting from China to the US. So right. Before this, you know, you're actually seeing foreign companies are exporting, actually enjoying the low cost production base in China and exporting overseas, and they're benefiting from it. And I think only starting from this year, BYD is starting to take over. And I think that's why, you know, we're starting the discussion now.
How are you articulating, Mr. Hong, very briefly, that the Chinese producers, both of EV and rechargeable batteries, their understanding of the current realities and therefore their adjustment of approaches, whether when it comes to innovation, production or exports?
Well, even though we are enjoying, you know, substantially lower cost of production, but the sale price in Europe, for example, is twice the price of the domestic price that we're selling here. I think, you know, it's one of the ways that the Chinese manufacturers are maintaining the innovation edge while, you know, trying to avoid the dumping image of the Chinese EVs.
Having said that, though, we see both sides have been emphasizing since Secretary Yellen's visit to China about communications and the importance of communications. Do you think both sides are speaking of the same types of communications?
To some extent, although I think that sometimes the terms may mean different things to the two sides.
Right.
So for example, when the both sides in these meetings with Secretary Yellen during her trip here, or were in China, they've decided, they've agreed that there will be further talks. A succession of meetings down the road, where both sides will work together to support what they're calling balanced growth. And, you know, from the U.S. perspective, perhaps balanced growth means maybe a fairer division of the market, that sort of balance. Both sides are talking about stability, and that's not just for their domestic markets, but international. But I think that probably from the Chinese side, balanced growth probably does have more of the connotations of stability, of making China into a financial power, not just a large financial state, but rather one that has very, very robust and stable financial institutions and can play a role to stabilize the world economy.
Mr. Hong.
As it's an election year, and also, you know, the relationship with China would be one of the key issues on the discussion table for both candidates. And obviously, you know, Trump probably is having a more hawkish view towards China. But I think, you know, in a recent papers that I read from the U.S. Experts and U.S. Economists, you know, they seem to think that, you know, the U.S. shouldn't be underestimating China's global influence and also the impact of the Chinese rise on the rest of the world. And so as such, you know, it's easy for the U.S. to miscalculate, you know, when dealing with China, right? So I think, you know, by having an open communication channel, it would make both sides aware of, you know, each other's objective and showing some respect for that. And also, you know, from the U.S. side, you know, we're seeing both Biden and Yellen continue to emphasize U.S. sort of a benign intention towards the Chinese relationship. So I think, obviously, you know, from the press coverage, right, and also from, you know, the social media sentiments that we were able to gather, you know, we're seeing actually on both sides, you know, there are some sort of a signs of improvement in terms of the most important bilateral relationship in the world. So hopefully, you know, we'll increasingly to communicate openly and more from here.
Ever wondered what's actually going on in Africa through the perspective of an African? How are things really going between China and Africa? What's the narrative of this relationship? Well, get a perspective with China-Africa Talk. Hear from African diplomats, entrepreneurs, academics, Chinese natives, and more. Get on our wavelength every week to find out what's real with China-Africa Talk. Find us on your favorite podcast. We'll see you there.
Beyond the headlines, this is World Insight.
This is quite an interesting question. We will see both presidents talk towards one another over the phone right before Secretary Yellen's visit. Meanwhile, you also saw different administration officials visiting China with very different tones. But still, you see individuals are having very different approaches when it comes to how to discuss with their Chinese counterparts. So how do you see the depths of understanding and the approaches that the U.S. Different administration officials have been taken so far? Usually, what role Secretary Yellen, given her knowledge and her vast experience serving for various administrations, would play in that sense, Mr. Zhou?
For China's side, I think it's we want to communicate about different facts about one thing and trying to find out what are the solutions and what are the possible ways that we can move forward. As you mentioned, that different stakeholders in the United States came to China, they are taking the jobs of the different sides. Actually, as for Yellen, she is very practical and also know a lot of things about the market. But actually, when I want to look at these facts now, she is also trying to make a little bit more government dominant about the economy and trying to interfere with the market by the decision of the government. It is not like what she was doing in the past.
Mr. Hong?
Yeah, well, I think obviously talking is very important. And also, over the course of past year, China has been increasingly more open to the external visitors, right? So visa waivers in many countries has been waived, and also we're seeing increasing traffic, from foreign travelers coming to China, even though it is still substantially less than before the COVID era. So I think things are going in the right direction, and also we're feeling the efforts from the Chinese authorities to open up its border to foreign visitors. So I think Yellen's visit is a further evidence of the willingness to for the both sides to talk, because Yellen has been seen as a friend of China, right? So she was having dinner in Guangzhou, and she insists to remove the pingfeng so that people can actually see her enjoying food with Chinese officials, etc., etc. So, it's a very nice gesture diplomatically. And I think, the Chinese social media picked up the vibes, and also, is discussing these meetings in a favorable view. So things are changing, and just hoping that from an investor point of view, things can happen faster this year.
Certainly, Secretary Yellen has become such an influencer on social media in terms of gourmet choices. In Guangzhou, the restaurant that she went to became even more overcrowded than it used to be. It was already a very crowded restaurant to begin with. And also when she travels to Beijing, going to a Sichuan restaurant, which is very popular with the local restaurant, and down-to-earth dishes, people are looking at how much she spent for a meal. Well, these are just anecdotes that flying around on social media. But seriously speaking, what role does Secretary Yellen play in retrospect, both from last year and this year? And how do you see she as a more experienced serving various administrations, officials, and quite a respectful intellectual as well, how she has been articulating her role from your observation, Professor Powers?
What I think you were talking about could be called cuisine diplomacy. She is
now everything become a diplomacy.
She's a natural. She's a natural diplomat, and so I think that some of what she is doing in China are the marching orders that she was given by President Biden, what he would like to communicate to China, his counterpart, and so forth. But I think much of it is her own personality, her own intellect. She is a very intelligent woman. She's a very distinguished member of the Biden administration. And whether it's, I know she is viewed as friendly toward China, but I believe she is very, very tactful and diplomatic wherever she goes. Of course, she's somewhat insulated from the adversarial nature of American politics because she's a cabinet secretary rather than someone who has run for elected office. Mm. But she has gone beyond that to make it clear, or through her action, that even though she may be asked by the administration to say something political or take a political statement, she tries to support it with evidence. And she also tries to state it clearly, forcefully, but without excessively colorful language or animosity. And I think that is very impressive. I wish she would run for higher office in the United States. I certainly think that it is a benefit for the U.S.-China relationship that she's making these trips.
Mr. Hong, how do you see China's approach so far in articulating what she believes, which she says is about more reform and opening up to have what China calls win-win with international investors and businesses, and China's special approach to China-U.S. relations at this critical and yet confusing year?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, during the COVID period, you know, China has been working in seclusion, right? So China has been the world's manufacturing base, you know, exporting goods, you know, for countries who has suffered loss of production capacity during the COVID period. So I think over the past 3 years of COVID, you know, China's value-added from exporting as a percentage of the global output has actually increased and not decreased. So you know, it's a testament of, you know, the manufacturing powerhouse status that, you know, China has been enjoying over the years. I think right now, you know, because now the focus is again on continue to reform and open. And also, you know, over the COVID period, we sort of lost some of the opportunities to communicate, you know, with the outside world, you know, what, you know, the Chinese economy is doing and then what China is trying to achieve. So right now, you know, it's high time to reestablish the communications and also communicate openly. I think Yellen, you know, being a natural diplomat, you know, is setting a very good example. You know, she's spearheading, you know, reestablishment of communication channels between the two great powers. I think, you know, from the Chinese government aside, you know, we are, you know, favoring, for example, visa conditions for many countries to come. And also, you know, we are, you know, trying to step up the efforts to support, you know, many of the foreign countries who may be still in need of help when rebuilding from COVID, et cetera. So we're seeing concrete progress already. You know, we're only in the first quarter of this year. So I would say that, you know, if things keep going this way, then, right, you know, during this very important election year, you know, the relationship with the U.S. Can improve from here.
What I would like to add is that I think that it is important that the two sides try to ease tensions. And I want to, I guess, turn to this this agreement to have these further discussions. I do believe that part of that is election year preparation in the United States to keep things going smoothly through the November election. But I also think that it's very important to have a forum to work out some of these issues. Because as I was saying earlier in the discussion, the issue of China having overcapacity in green technology is sort of difficult to argue in a legalistic way. And I think it's probably better if the two sides can identify more coordinated targets and ways that they can share these markets cooperatively rather than adversarially.
Professor Powers and Mr. Hong, Mr. Zhou, appreciate it. Thank you. And that's all the time we have for today. I'm Tian Wei. On behalf of my team, thanks for being with us. I'll see you tomorrow.